Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We are in the last sermon of the book of Revelation. We have come to the end of the book. And y'all have heard me say before, I've read the last page of the book, we win. And that's the message of the, not only the book of Revelation, that's the message of the Bible, is that Christ has won the victory. And, you know, if you were going, if one of us in here was going to die tonight and we all knew it, wouldn't you listen to the last thing that they had to say? Last words are so important. And so these are the last words of our Lord that were given to the old Apostle John. And we've come to the end of the Bible, but we have not come to the end of the story. And so tonight I want to talk about last words, and they're so significant. They're so concise. They're so crisp. They're so clear. And I just want you to listen up as the Lord sums up His Word tonight. And let's listen in on these last words. I just want to read verses 6 through 13 first, and then we'll continue on to the end of the chapter. Chapter 22, I'm sorry. Revelation 22, 6. Then He said, now remember who's speaking here, John is. He said, then He said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, what does that word mean? Look at here. Listen to me. Pay attention. Don't miss this. Watch this. I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I want to talk to you again about last words. And his last words in the verses that you just read predict a sudden return. A sudden return. The Lord promised the Apostle John and all who read this book that he will return. How many of you know Jesus is coming again? And so we're looking at the literal second. We're talking here about this promise being the literal second coming of Christ. And the Lord predicts this promise. And he says, I'm coming how? Quickly. And the word quickly here means suddenly. Suddenly. Doesn't mean that he was coming. He wasn't saying to John, I'm coming today. He's saying, I'm coming swiftly and I'm coming suddenly. 1 Corinthians 15:52, the great resurrection chapter in the Bible, tells us that his coming will be as quick as the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye is, now I don't know who in the world sits around and studies these kinds of things, but do you know how fast that is? Listen to this. 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. That's faster than that. Mercy. He's coming quickly. Matthew 24:27 says, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Light, y'all know how fast the speed of light is? Travels at what? That's right, Don, 186,000 miles per second. And so Jesus Christ is coming again, and when He comes, it's going to be swift and sudden. And you know, folks, God's Word is faithful and true. If God has promised, it's going to happen. And this particular promise is going to take place. We can't stop it. We can't hold it back. God's Word is true. He's faithful and true. And the same God who spoke, John says, to the holy prophets, spoke through John. God's Word is accurate. I want to tell you, every letter, every word, every syllable, every jot, every tittle, every book in your Bible is God-breathed. It's inspired by God Himself. And so tonight we have the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative Word that Christ is coming again. Tell somebody He's coming. Woo, y'all are getting excited as I am tonight. All right. And so, how are we to live? Knowing that's going to happen, how are we to live? Well, John tells us that we are to live by studying and keeping the words of this prophetic book. The Word of God is our authority for belief and behavior. It's not guesswork. It's not whatever I think. It's not what my opinion is. The Word of God is our authority on what we believe and how we behave. Can I get an amen on that? It's not what society says it is. It's not what anybody else says. You know, opinions in the Baptist church are like noses. Everybody's got one. How many of y'all figured that out? But the Word of God is our last and sole opinion. Whatever it says is what we... And so remember, now, this... I chuckled this afternoon when I read this. And so John falls at the feet of the angel and begins to worship him. Now you remember the book of Revelation. No S. The book is the uncovering, the unveiling, the revelation, the revealing of Christ Jesus in all of His glory and majesty and splendor. And what does John do? He falls at the feet of an angel, begins to worship. You see how messed up we can get? Even the setting that John's in, and yet he falls at the feet of this angel. And now, and wisely, what does the angel tell him? Worship God. You don't worship me. I'm just like, you know, I'm a fellow servant of the Lord. I'm not the one that you're supposed to worship. It's Him. And so I'm sure John's tore all to pieces, you know. And I get it. But anyways, we do some silly things. And then the angel tells John, don't seal the book up. Revelation is to be an open book. It's never to be closed up. Why? Because sinners need a Savior. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's an invitation to come to Christ before it's eternally too late. Men are born into sin and we choose to sin. And when people die in their sin, they are forever separated from God, apart from Christ. And for those that are in Christ, John says they're holy. And they're eternally holy. And because we're eternally holy, we're going to be eternally happy. Amen. I can't wait to get to heaven and look at some of these long-lipped Baptists who just walk around like they've been sipping on persimmons and baptized in lemon juice. They're actually going to be happy if they make it. All right? And so God isn't as concerned about my happiness as He is about my holiness. That's what John's saying here. But if you're holy, guess what? You're going to be happy. And so Christ is standing between the sinner and the saint, between heaven and hell. And the book of Revelation tells us that we're to live according to His Word. Did you catch this? I wished I had grabbed this verse a few weeks ago. I was in a Bible study in somebody's home, and there was another fellow there who was of another denomination, should we say, and we brought up rewards. And he and this fellow said, there's no such thing as reward. Our reward is going to be heaven. Our reward is going to get to be to see Jesus. And so I tried to explain Romans to him, and talking about Romans 3, talking about those rewards, you know, and we're going to lose some rewards, and we're going to some are going to suffer loss. And I was trying to explain that passage of Scripture to him, and he just didn't get it. And he just walked out of there thinking, our reward, we're not going to be getting any rewards. Well, what does verse 12 say? And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. What? To give to everyone according to his what? To his work. And so I want to tell you, whatever you're doing for Jesus' sake, whatever you're doing for His praise and His glory and His honor, if it's a good work for Him, guess what? You're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. That's what the book says, isn't it? Some of y'all are looking at me like, you goofy preacher. We're going to be rewarded for our works. And so I can't, you know, that just blows me away. But whatever crown I receive, bless God, I'm not going to prance all over heaven, all over glory land, like the old song says. I'm going to take that crown off and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Y'all want something to lay at the feet of Jesus? Amen. Then get busy working for His glory. That's a good word for us tonight right there. And so He's coming back and He's bringing rewards. And Alpha and Omega there, He mentions that in verse 13. Now what are Alpha and Omega? The first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. And I think John's trying to tell us, He is the first ray of hope in the book of Genesis, and He is the last warning in the book of Revelation. He's the beginning, He's the end, and how many of you understand He's all that's in between? He's the first and the last. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the open door. He's the good shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. There's nobody like Jesus. All right. So, this book is all about Jesus. I think we would get that from verses 6 through 13 in the whole book of Revelation. And the message of the book here in this section of the last words is that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's one reply. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
He's coming. And you'll be so glad that you were ready. Okay. His last words predict a sudden return. Jesus is coming again. And then secondly, in verses 14 through 17, His last words propose a sure redemption. I said a sure redemption. You don't have to guess whether or not you're saved. You don't have to hope so, guess so, maybe so, I think so. You can have a no-so redemption. You can know that you're born again. And verses 14 through 17 point this out. Look at this with me. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But what city? Yeah, what we were talking about last Sunday night, the New Jerusalem, okay? But outside are dogs. You know what I thought of when I read that word? Y'all remember that song a few years ago? Who let the dogs out? Who? But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now, in John's day, when the word dog was used, it was used to describe a vile, vicious, violent, unclean, wicked person. Dogs who are outside of Christ. And the word sorcerer is our word for drugs. It's the word pharmakia. It's our word for drugs. And so fornication, adultery, homosexuality, pornography, murdering, idolatry, and a lifestyle of lying are some of the sins that are mentioned here. And the sins that are mentioned, y'all, are not one or two time occurrences. They are the practice, they are the habit, they are the lifestyle of the folks who John says will not make it into heaven. Are you with me so far? This is not a one-time incident. These sins are not just one or two or three or four things that we struggle with. No, this is people who are practicing these sins. Because when a person is practicing these sins on a regular basis, they're giving evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is not in them. I had some kid, well, he wasn't a kid, he was 20, he thought he was really sharp. I was out visiting, this is several years ago, and sharing the gospel, knocking on doors with, you know, one of my deacons, and we wound up at this house as a single guy, and I knew him, so we knocked on, he let us in, he was really nice and sweet and everything, and so I rolled around to the gospel. I said, Brad, are you sure that you're really born again? Are you saved? Because he had a terrible lifestyle. And he said, well, Brother Cal, I believe in once saved, always saved. Now, what would you have said to that? Well, here's what I told him. I said, somebody who is truly born again loves to obey the Scriptures. It is his or her desire to want to please God. And somebody who is living outside the authority of Scripture for their life is given evidence that they'd never been saved. And so he said, where do you find that in the Bible? He started getting scared. And so I began to thumb through the Scriptures with you, and I've come to tell you, if saved, always saved. That's a good word. Not once, but if saved. If you're truly born again. What we do is we tend to look around at all these people that are living like dogs and immoral people, and think, well, there's no way. You know, we just think all kinds of things. And now you can have a person, I don't even know if I'm saved. The only ones who know is me and him. But I want to tell you, you can know a tree by the fruit that it's bearing. All right? And so don't necessarily make all kinds of judgments that somebody's saved just because they say they're saved. Just because their name's on a church roll, just because they've been baptized, just because they shake hands with the preacher and pray a recited little prayer, doesn't mean somebody's born again and saved, because somebody who's truly born again and saved is going to want to live for the glory of Christ Jesus by being obedient to the Scriptures. And when they don't, guess what? They're ashamed, they feel filthy, they're nasty, they're embarrassed. That's because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Are y'all with me tonight? Now, let me say this. All of these folks here that John's talking about there in those two verses are not going to make it to heaven. They're going to be forever separated from God. But now, did you see that back up in verse 14? He said, blessed are those who do His commandments. So that must mean we're saved by works. Wrong. The Bible says on our very best day, doing our very best deed, doing our very best work is like a filthy rag thrown in God's face. We will never be saved by works. But again, somebody who's truly born again wants to keep the commandments. Now, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we want to keep the commandments. And I like how the Holman Christian Standard Bible translates that verse. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are they who wash their robes. And what that means is that when you obey His commandments, you wash your robes and vice versa, and you're being washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. There's never been any other way to be saved, folks. The only way to be saved is by trusting in the finished work of Christ and repenting of your sin. That's it. Repentance and faith. Two-sided coin of salvation. And so, it's the shed blood of Jesus that saves an old filthy sinner like me. We don't like to think about that, though, do we? But I want to tell you, I was a mean little rascal when I was about 9 years old. I was mean to my sisters, and I would have done anything to them to make their lives as miserable as I could. My mama was having gallbladder surgery, and Dad left us over there at his office, and he left me in charge. Bad decision. He said, I've got to go down to the hospital and take care of your mama, and you're in charge. You take care of your sisters. And this was December, and it was cold as a wedge outside. And one of my sisters, Dr. Hall, really ticked me off. She said something I didn't like, and so I tricked every one of them to come outside in the parking lot, and I ran right back inside and locked the door. And they're out there in the freezing cold in their little Sunday dresses. Well, when Big Daddy from Cincinnati got back to the office, you can guess what happened. And so, you know, our hearts are wicked. Our hearts just want to sin. We don't like to talk about that. But bless God, when Jesus Christ comes in, He changes your heart. He changes your life. Can I get an amen on that? And so that's what John's talking about here. And so Jesus, the Messiah, David's descendant, let me read verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Whew, and I like verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Come. And let him who hears say what? Come. And let him who thirsts, what? Come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so Jesus is telling John, I sent my angel to the churches and I gave them this message. I want them saved. I want them saved. That's why Jesus left. And, you know, in order for somebody to go to hell, do you understand what they've got to do? They've got to step over the blood of Jesus into hell. They've got to step over every sermon they've ever heard. They've got to step over every gospel song that they've ever heard sung. I mean, it's almost hard to go to hell. Doesn't make any sense either, does it? Not when Jesus has paid the price. Paid it all. We sang that this morning. And so, I want you to look at the offer, the invitation that's given here several times in verse 17. This is God's will that everyone might come to repentance, that everyone might be saved. Will everyone be saved? No. But I want to tell you, there's a bunch of them out there that will be saved. So here's the invitation. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit offers the invitation. Jesus wants them to come. The Holy Spirit then says what? Come. And the Holy Spirit wants people to be saved. And it's His job to convict, to save, and to seal. All right? And then the bride of Christ offers the same invitation. Come. And the bride on earth shouts, come. And then the bride in heaven shouts, come. That's why the church exists, brothers and sisters. A church that's not winning souls and making disciples needs to close its doors. That's why we're here, to preach and proclaim the gospel and to make disciples. We're to reach people for Christ and we're to teach people to follow Christ. That's our mission statement. That's what we're all about. And anything that we're doing here that doesn't help us do that, we're going to bury it, get rid of it, throw it out in the riverbank. All right? Y'all with me? And so the message of the Bible is come. And can I just say this? We've got an obligation to share the message. Those who have heard, John says, say come. That's us. We have a message that we need to share. We need to invite folks not just to come to church, but we need to invite people to come to Christ. Amen. Have you invited anybody to come to Jesus this week? Glory to His name. Keep on keeping on. That's why we're here. Come. And this is the Bible's proposal. now, can I just kind of muddy the waters a little bit? What's all this business about the elect? Who are the elect? I don't know who the elect are. And so I'm going to nominate everybody. But you know who John says the elect are? Look at it. See that word, those two words there in verse 17? Whoever desires. That's the elect. Whoever desires to come to Christ. Whoever. God can and will save anybody, anywhere, anytime. But they need to hear the word. They need to hear the gospel. And that's where we come in. And so God will give folks the water of life freely, whoever desires it. Aren't you glad God saved you? Whoo, mercy. And so there's the proposal. But now His last words also, it gets you might need to squunch down in your seat just a little bit. It gets kind of tough. His last words proclaim a severe revelation. Look at verses 18 and 19. John says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." Listen to this. "If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, the Bible proclaims a lot of different warnings, doesn't it? A lot of warnings in Scripture. But the warnings here are for those who would tamper with the Word of God. Those who would add to the Scripture and those who would take away from the Scripture for personal gain. And so here's the difference. For those who would read, study, and obey these words, here's a blessing. And yet for those who would try to add to or take away for personal gain or for personal satisfaction, they're under the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. Can you imagine what's going to happen to preachers who have led folks astray by prosperity preaching? Y'all know what prosperity preaching is? Oh, listen. God loves you. And if you'll just serve the Lord, if you'll just love God, oh, you won't ever get sick. You'll have a full, overflowing, abundant bank account. And bless God, you're going to have a great life. That is a lie from the pit of hell itself. That there is no such thing in the Word of God. Nowhere will you find that. And yet people are falling prey to that kind of preaching. You know why? Because it tickles our ears. How would you like to be in Joseph Smith's shoes? The Book of Mormon? Bible doesn't need the Book of Mormon to help explain it. That's why we've got the Holy Spirit. Would you like to be in Muhammad's shoes tonight? There's some tough stuff here for those who add to and those who take away. For those who have twisted and perverted the Scriptures. And I want to tell y'all something. Whenever you hear somebody preaching or teaching, me and Billy included, you had better check the Word of God out to make sure they're telling you the truth. Don't just be gullible and take it, you know, for granted. Check him out. Check it out. Look at the Word of God. Listen to what they're saying. And so God's Word is settled and sealed. Don't add to it and don't dilute it, or the plagues in this book will be added to you and you'll burn forever. And can I just say this? Not everybody up in a pulpit is saved. That doesn't sound good, does it? But there's preachers out there that want to deceive you. And remember who's behind all this? The prince of the air. He wants to deceive you. And so he'll use preachers. He'll use Sunday school teachers. He'll use mentors. He'll use people to deceive you. And so it is so important, brothers and sisters, to know what the book says. We Baptists used to call ourselves people of the what? People of the book. I asked you a few minutes ago, have you shared your story about Jesus with anybody this week? How much have you been in God's Word this week? You know what I've found in church services? God's really speaking to people when it gets real quiet. It's not when we're hopping and jumping and skipping around shouting, "Amen, preach, preacher." It's when it gets real quiet and the Holy Spirit begins to convict our hearts. Get in the Word of God. Study it. Apply it. Obey it, and you will live a blessed, that's what he says, you'll live a blessed life. Not an easy life, but a blessed life. And y'all, let me just see how good y'all's memory is. The word blessed in the Greek is the word makarios. And what does makarios mean? Y'all remember? Y'all don't remember what the word blessed means? We don't have a good word for it. Woo-wee! That's what the word means. And so he uses that word blessed how many times? And so look at your neighbor and say, hoo-wee. Y'all don't quit your day job here. All right. So those are his last words proclaim a severe revelation. And then his last words present a supreme request. Look at 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. John, you remember, had been working in the rock quarry on the Isle of Patmos when he was in worship on the Lord's Day and got this tremendous message from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, he'd been persecuted. He's in his 90s. And he's quarrying rock. And he's all by himself. And one day, on Sunday, the Lord appeared to him. He told John to sit down and listen and begin to reveal the future to him. And imagine how John must have felt as he heard those amazing mysteries, warnings, and predictions. Imagine how John felt when he saw the unforgettable scenes of worship in the throne room. Imagine how John must have felt when the book of Revelation just unfolded before his very eyes. Imagine how the Spirit of God must have moved on his heart when he saw the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heavens. Imagine what John felt like when he heard the warning. No one had better add to my word, and nobody had better take away from it or dilute it in any way. And then those sweet words John heard from the lips of his Savior. John, I'm coming soon. John must have, when he heard that, must have jumped up and shouted, Amen! Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And is that your prayer tonight? I mean, look at that last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Haven't we enjoyed the grace of God today? Haven't we enjoyed God's grace this week? How about all your life? God's grace. Are you anticipating His return? He's only been gone 2 days, the way he sees things. He lives in the eternal now. And I just want to say, along with the Apostle John tonight, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Would you close your eyes and bow your head tonight as we pray together? Is there a burden on your heart tonight for somebody that may or may not be lost? Is there a burden on your heart for somebody tonight that's backslidden? If that's so, would you just slip your hand up there? Nobody's looking around. You got a burden for somebody? Wow. Wow, hands everywhere.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.